The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, escorted by all the angels, then he will take his seat on the throne of glory. All the nations will be assembled before him, and he will separate men one from another as the shepherd separates sheep from goats. He will place the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you whom my Father has blessed, take for your heritage the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you made me welcome. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. In prison, and you came to see me.' Then the virtuous will say to him in reply, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and make you welcome, naked and clothe you, sick or in prison and go to see you?' And the king will answer, 'I tell you solemnly, insofar as you did this to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it to me.' Next he will say to those on his left hand, 'Go away from me with your curse upon you to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you never gave me food. I was thirsty, and you never gave me anything to drink. I was a stranger, and you never made me welcome. Naked, and you never clothed me. Sick and in prison, and you never visited me.' Then it will be their turn to ask, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, a stranger or naked, sick or in prison, and did not come to your help?' Then he will answer, 'I tell you solemnly, insofar as you neglected to do this to one of the least of these, you neglected to do it to me.' And they will go away to eternal punishment, and the virtuous to eternal life." Gospel of the Lord. Security checks at border crossings, ports, and airports are a common feature of life for the millions that travel or go on pilgrimage or go abroad for whatever reason. And we begin to expect longer queues at immigration and passport control, just part of modern life. Of course, being highlighted recently by the spat between the Home Office and civil servants. For those who want to take up permanent residence in a new country, there are even more stringent controls because in the last couple of decades, there's been huge migration, mass migration going on all around the world, people moving around, many coming for whatever reason, sometimes fleeing from civil unrest or from the many wars, some obviously economic migrants. Many factors coming into play why people are always on the move. As they move, each nation has its own traditions, history, values, common language, common things that unite them, and common identity and purpose. And that's true of the kingdom of God. That Jesus outlines for us as what is important in his kingdom. We know it's not a kingdom of this world. It's not a physical territory with border controls. But we do nevertheless need a passport in the sense of our entry. And our entry, of course, for us is our baptism. Our baptism when we come in and we gain entrance, as it were, into the kingdom. Just as our birth brings us into this world, so our baptism brings us into the eternal world of that kingdom that Jesus speaks about. But within that kingdom, with our own values, our own language, as it were, the ability to speak in that language, he says, is judged by our fulfillment or failure to follow the Great Commandments, particularly in today's love your neighbor as yourself. And so it's a very graphic picture Jesus paints of the final judgment. Somebody going out at 9 o'clock says, I've always liked the goats. I think she felt among them, I don't know. She said, I hope I'll be accepted. Because we don't like Jesus being exclusive, do we? I hope we're all going to be included. But he's quite clear there, the separating the sheep from the goats. And the questions that he asks, if we were the judge, are not necessarily the same questions. There's no seeming question about race or nationality or culture or even creed necessarily. The king asks the questions he wants, and the king judges by his own judgment. And that's going to be about our relations with and to each other, particularly speaking about people in need. Because he says the values that are important in his kingdom reflect the values and standards of the king, God himself, God revealed in the scriptures. So God is always the God who looks with pity on those who are poor, on those who are defenseless, those who are strangers. The Lord shows himself as a shepherd, as caring, those who need care, those who need protection, those who need love, as that true shepherd, as our first reading and our psalm both remind us. They're images of God, caring for all. And that's the bit we find difficult. We can see why he might need to care for us and why he need to care for the people we like, but for those that we don't, we're not quite sure about. And so, of course, when we get to the gospel reading, both lots of people are surprised. Both of them say, well, look, Lord, when did we see you? Because we're only thinking of Jesus. When, if we saw Jesus walking the streets, of course we'd help him. If we saw Jesus in need, of course we'd help him. But when did we? And both sides are surprised when he's challenging them. But I think one image of the last century that I think all of us will ever remember is that of Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, bending over an outcast to minister to them. The sort of bruised and battered and the dregs, in a sense, almost of humanity that were there on the streets that she embraced. And she won the admiration both of believers and non-believers because they saw a striking bond there that gathered all humanity. And sometimes we find we couldn't do it, but she could. And that was her inspiration. And what she would say she was doing is no more than the gospel we've just heard. And she would see in those poor scraps of humanity, Jesus, a brother, a sister in need, and see Jesus in them. She would often describe the work as something beautiful for God, which brings me back, because our faith always hangs together. It's all of a piece. When we begin that eternal life in our baptism, the font's always near the door, should be near the door, because it's where we enter. And we enter and we're marked for that eternal life. And as we grow up, we need to hear what we hear at the start of the liturgical year, usually. Each year, different year of the Gospels, but those beautiful attitudes that the king says we should have if we're part of his kingdom. And when we get into the end of the year, as we get to the end of life, it's challenging us to say, how have we got on with those beautiful attitudes? How have we cared for the people in need? And so that when we're lying here at the end, and the water of our eternal life reminding us as we come in, and there the challenge of the king, how have we behaved? That's the great thing. And you see, that's why our baptism, but it's renewable, just like your passport is. If you think about it, you particularly the older ones among us, you look at your passports of the past, maybe your first one that you had, maybe the next one. Oh, gosh. And you look at the photo today. Is the Lord doing the same with us as we come before him, as time progresses? Have we measured up to those beautiful attitudes that he gave us? Have we done as he asked? Because in the same way that we keep every few years having to renew our passport, the church gives us every opportunity to renew our baptismal vows. We renew our commitment to that eternal life, but it's a commitment to the ever-changing and yet unchanging gospel. We're always going on changing. The gospel's the same. They heard that from Jesus. We're hearing it 2,000 years down the line, but it's still there. How have we responded? And that's the challenge that Jesus leaves us, as it were, on this last Sunday of the year, before we then move into a different gear, into Advent, moving on again for a new year coming, of Christ coming yet again. But that challenge ever afresh, how have we, as it were, lived up to those attitudes? That's what we can only think of as we move through Christ the King. If he is the King in our life, have we ministered to him, to those around us?